is where the magic happens, but especially today, because we got Renee What? That's how I like to say her name. Renee What?
And who are you?
I'm Angela.
Do we even know anymore?
I'm Angela Lovell. I'm a psychic and empath, a master of loving, a master of loving, an indigo child, and a cat lady.
And a dog lady.
I've got dogs, but more cats. They're dominant.
The cats dominate the room or the house, the life.
It's a lot of cats.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when one of the cats is a familiar, that's going to happen.
Oh,
probably.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I just had a reading where this woman had three cats, but only one of them was her familiar.
Oh,
and
shit.
And she was like, it won't let the other cats out of the bedroom. And it just like beats the shit out of them. So I had to like go in and talk to this lady's cat and just be like, hey, man, like.
You can do that. You
it's
just have
not
to
cool. But then the cat was like, you have to get me a toy.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll start. And then I'll listen. So I was like, this cat is like asking.
Rue has only started. She actually is your, she's your planet switched. She's an Aries with a Scorpio moon.
Okay.
And she hates the other cats, but she started loving up the Gemini. And now I find them in each other's arms. She's very possessive of me. Which is
how Scorpio.
Yeah, right. That's exactly how it feels. Mm-hmm. And I love her. I love her. But she also is really mean with people who come around me. Like this is a new thing now. She was mean with the last guy I was dating. She was just mean with my mom this weekend. And then she'll warm up. But yeah, she's very possessive. And she's a great familiar otherwise. She escaped recently, got out the window in Echo Park, which was the scariest thing that's happened to me since my dog almost choked to death a few weeks ago. And She got the window open and she's really skinny and sinewy. And I woke up because my big fat Boots, my other black cat, was like trying to wedge his fat ass through the little opening that Rue got out. And I heard the window rattling. And I got up and I was like, Minky, where are you? And I stuck my head out the window and I started yelling. And I see her. It's like a weird rooftop that she got onto. And she comes flying down, jumped in my arms, aww, hissed at all the other cats like it was their fault she got out. It was so traumatic for all of us.
She was out there doing some.
She was doing something she's not supposed to, Aries with Scorpio moon.
Mm. Yeah.
So today, this is Ryan. Hi.
Hi, Ryan.
We have, you know, like you already said, Renee Watt, we're going to talk about like psychic abilities, fostering psychic abilities, developing them, tapping into them in a, I have a story about like the universe using divination tools. Maybe we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
That just happened to me. What's today? Yesterday or 2 days ago?
Today, yesterday. Sure is.
We're all just starting to drink coffee now. I want to talk about also, Renee hosts The Witch Doctorate, and it is my favorite witchy podcast, my most favorite witchy podcast of all time.
And to be...
It might be better than ours. I'm just going
to
say it.
Just to have some detail about it, it's the... Do you want to explain like the basic premise of The Witch Doctorate?
Yeah. So it's basically, I don't do once a week or anything like that. I do seasons, which I call semesters. And each semester is a witchy topic. So the first semester that I put a ton of work into is Astrology 101. And it's kind of just going over the basics of astrology in a way that I hope is digestible for people.
It's vast. But yeah, it is totally digestible.
Well, I learned it as I was recording it. So it was kind of, whoa, like the things that I wanted to expand my knowledge on, mm-hmm, I would do a semester about.
Your podcast, when people write in or write reviews and they're like, they really go off on tangents for our podcast, you might want to listen to Renee's sometimes because you do like a whole numerology one that's super good. The astrology, you're the only person, I told you this already, you're the only person I've ever met who knows like more than I do about astrology. And I always feel like you've taught me so much crazy stuff. Even that, I can't remember what it's called now. It's that little thing in the chart. We went out. We went to a crazy, what wasn't an alien thing. What was that?
Like it was UPARS.
UPARS.
Do you pronounce it UPARS or UPARS?
UPARS, UPARS. I don't think it really matters. It's like just an acronym for UFO Paranormal Research Society.
Yeah.
It was super fun. And because it wasn't supposed to be fun like it was fun. It was supposed to be...
Oh,
it was pretty silly, though, when we
logo
saw. It was so fun. And we went with Brandy Posey, who's always heightens the fun of every experience. And yeah, we saw a woman who was telling us the government controls us by controlling the weather, which might be true. Who knows? But her argument and presentation was lacking.
Well, and she also quoted Mein Kampf.
Did I tell you that, Ryan? She totally fucking she threw up a quote on the projector from Mein Kampf.
This is like one of the big problematic things that that bothers me so much in the being a member of a paranormal world.
Yeah.
And there's, and it is true that UFO, like there's a specific group of the UFO world that's always had like a real, they've really had the hots for Hitler. Like as far as like the Nazis go, because the Nazis were, Hitler specifically was so obsessed with UFO technology, advanced technology. And one of the leading or the very top scientist, Nazi scientist at one point, there's the quotes on the internet. You can look it up. It's, I'm just going to paraphrase it, but one of the top Nazi scientists, when asked directly, where did you get all of this advanced technology? Because the Nazis did have advanced flight technology.
I remember this.
And one of the top of all Nazi scientists said, well, we didn't come up with it. They gave it to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
there
when,
are evil aliens and there are good aliens.
So that's all the like UFO ghosts. Community needs to latch onto something.
Yeah.
It's true.
And there's a couple people, this woman might be one of them. I don't know enough about her, but there's a couple of people that just, mostly they're dudes who just like, they're just really like into like the Nazis and UFOs. Yeah. And it's problematic.
I don't know. Cause it was, her presentation was all over the place. I do believe that she showed, footage of a fairy. I think that was a fairy. That's what they look like when I see them. Mm-hmm. Like, but I see them when I meditate, and it looked just like, I told you this. She was trying to say it was like a thing designed by the government to push chips into our skin.
Yeah, like it was a particle in the air that would land on our skin, but it was like a nanobot was what she said, and it was like,
thank you.
See the nanobot pushing a chip into this person's skin, and I was like, no, this looks like nothing.
My theory is, if the government's given us anything, it's in flu shots, because they don't give us anything for free, and they give us flu shots for free. And
are flu shots free?
Yes, flu shots are free. And I knew a guy, I know him. He works for the Center of Disease Control in the United States. He's traveled all over the world to do it everywhere else, and he told me, never get a flu shot. Then I actually asked him, I was like, is there something up with flu shots? And he said, for starters, the strand that they'll vaccinate against, they're literally.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, there's screaming coming from next door. I think it's a sporting event. It's a sporting event happening.
He said that they literally roll dice to figure out which strand they're going to vaccinate against. So it's not even like it's crowd control for the flu. Right. And then I met a woman who worked, she did like medical stuff for the FBI. And I was like, please tell me something that's been released or not top secret anymore. And she's like, I can't tell you anything. And she's really cool. I think we're going to go to wine country together next month. She told me, I said, okay, just nod. Should I ever get a flu shot? And it was like a big no. So two people, one, no secret information. The other one is telling me like they're useless anyway.
Not since I was a kid have I received a flu shot, but I do pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you can just use, you know, that healthy side of things, like do a shot of fire cider every day and things like that, that mostly will.
I'm sorry, Ryan, but didn't we have to cancel or reschedule this?
We had to reschedule.
And in my defense, I wasn't loading up on fire cider like I should have been during that period.
Well,
because we were at like the very end of a bottle, and there's five people,
sure,
really kind of six living in this apartment now,
bringing all kinds of
because
germs
we've
in.
Got like two. We've got a girlfriend just moved in from across the country. There's a boyfriend who like unofficially lives here.
Yeah.
So it's like the fire cider doesn't last nearly as long as. It used to, because everybody's on the fire cider.
My
train.
Mom, when we were leaving, she's like, how many people live there? And I was like, oh, it's basically a frat house. I don't even know the numbers these days.
You should add oil of oregano to it.
Yes, oil of oregano is what I always take.
It makes it so good.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that. Yeah, I take that when I'm getting sick. My brother is a 22, and he invented a cure for the common cold, and it absolutely works. You take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C with rose hips every hour, and you have to set your timer so you don't miss it. And you will fart a lot. And it's like the worst farts of your life. But you do it for 2 days and you will fight off.
But are they the farts that you like and everyone else hates?
I'm just going to nod or shake my head.
Oh, okay. We got confirmation.
I don't want to go on the record as some kind of fart lover.
but that's like an old thing everybody knows. Like you don't really like mind your own farts as much as you do other people's.
That's true.
So, okay. So getting back to the witch doctorate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what I wanted to touch on with Upars. That night we went to a bar with Brandy Posey and you were telling us this thing, the secret sweet spot in
your
an astrology
chart.
Yes.
It's your midhaven.
Midhaven.
Yeah.
I have got to remember this. I'm glad we're recording it. And you said, this was crazy too. You were like, this is like your ideal partner.
Right.
And I guessed mine would be Gemini because that's what I can't get enough of. Mm-hmm. And Brandy's a Sagittarius, which is why we're best friends. But okay, it's your midhaven.
If you're looking at your birth chart and you basically go to the 4 o'clock point and you look at the sign and the degrees, that'll tell you the sign and degree of your ideal partner.
Okay.
Yeah.
And wasn't there a symbol? Isn't there like a symbol? It's the one that... isn't it like a true, it looks kind of like the nodes. Am I wrong?
We talked a little bit about the part of fortune, which is the circle with the X.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have the nodes, which there's the north node and the south node. And if you're looking at your nodes in your chart, the north node is the things that you're supposed to work towards in this lifetime. And the south node is mistakes you've made in the past and things you should have learned your lesson about. And if you keep making those mistakes, you don't evolve.
Yes.
So
I need to see this.
This is crazy. Mine, my south is Taurus. My north is Scorpio, and I feel so Scorpio. And I feel like I nailed the Scorpio part. I would say like in my early 30s.
Okay.
I fucking nailed that Scorpio, but I was being a sloppy Taurus. I had sloppy Taurus tendencies. I can say that. I just took my mom to the airport. She's a sloppy Taurus.
Right. Your mom is amazing, by the way.
Isn't she? He just interviewed
for reasons we can talk about later.
Yeah.
I got to meet your mom this past weekend for, you know, because an ongoing paranormal investigation into the things that have been happening around you your entire life. And your mom is an amazing storyteller.
She is.
It's almost crazy. I mean, it makes total sense though when you realize that she used to run, you know, the Mark Twain house or the foundation or the
I always
museum.
Tell her Mark Twain would be so enamored by her. She gets so choked up when I say this to her. He wouldn't want anybody else touching his stuff. She is the biggest Twainiac who's ever lived. Her fucking license plates always say Twainiac on them. Wherever she lives, she gets
That's
the
adorable.
Nobody else wants a Twainiac.
She's the only one.
She is. Yeah. She's adorable. She's so dear to me. I let her sleep in my bed the whole time she was here. I regretted it last night, finally.
But that's a pro move. That's what you got.
Touchy.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, you didn't sleep on the couch?
No, we shared the bed. I'm in a very small sublet right now. No, we shared the bed, and then this morning I woke up to her fondling me, which I'll tell you guys what, this is a step up because she used to literally fondle me. I'd wake up, she'd be spooning me, and then she'd be like, whoops, groping my boobs. Whoops. That's too a closeness we do not need to achieve. But yeah, she still thinks I'm her baby, and
right.
I don't have boobs. So
right.
not to defend somebody assaulting me, but
let's talk about, I want to talk about nodes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the nodes.
Because it's just a fun word to say.
It is a fun word.
And it's a fun idea to think about, because considering that I really have no idea about the nodes at all. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you said north, south, or north nodes and south nodes. Mm-hmm. Are there also east nodes and west nodes?
Nope.
Okay. So what is a node, what does it signify or represent?
I mean, well, kind of what we just talked about, but the way that it's measured is it's kind of like a halfway point between the sun and the moon, I believe. So they're always going to be opposites. So for me, it's Aries opposite Libra. So whatever your north node is in, it will be six signs later to get to your south node and vice versa. So for you, it's like Taurus and Scorpio.
Yeah.
Because those are basically like the openings in the wheel that will like teach you about these karmic lessons you're supposed to learn. But one of the philosophies around it is that if you don't follow these lessons that you have to learn, the pull from the north and the south will tear your soul apart.
Fuck. Okay, but I'm an 11, so my karmas are supposedly done. I mean, I could fuck that up, I guess, but...
Well, I guess it's, that's powerful. So are you a benevolent person, or do you, you know, use that station for good or evil?
Yeah, that's a really good,
I'm going to call a quick television timeout.
Well, that's true.
Oh, I'm always tired.
Yeah.
we're back. Sorry. We just had to like figure out some ambiance situations. So what you have here is you have the nodes and six signs apart.
Right.
And this is like from the past. And I wonder, I'm just curious, like, do we know like the history of like where node, like this, what does this even mean? Like, where does it come from?
Yeah, well, actually it's kind of the same concept as an eclipse. So, you know, when it's like the dragon or the snake eating its own tail and it gets cut in half. Those are your two nodes. Those
God
are the
damn,
two
that's
have.
So cool. So, she knows everything.
That is pretty cool. I've always liked to think of it as a snake pooping its own head.
Oh, okay, that's so good too. We got farts, we got poop.
Or this shitting into its own mouth.
Ever. Yeah, yeah, or shitting into its own mouth.
Which, you know, if you don't learn your lessons, you would be shitting in your own mouth.
Yeah, I guess you would.
So the north node is, you know, if the snake is cut in half, the north node is the head, what you need to eat.
Wow.
And the south node is what you need to release.
That is incredible. I have learned so much, and I've only listened to like the Valentine's episode, the numerology episode. And it's funny because I consider myself a pretty educated witch, but like and this was crazy. I might have even said it on here. Do you remember me saying this, Ryan? If anybody knows a natural deodorant that's good,
I don't remember
everybody.
This. Have you ever tried? You have not moved.
No,
see, there's a scale.
No.
There's a scale of hippie that that I used to joke about. Well, there's like on the scale of
the
people,
patchouli.
They're like on one end. There's hippie. No, it's even further than
Ooh.
That. So you have the normal person who wants like the aluminum filled, Old Spice, antiperspirant / deodorant. Mm-hmm. Then on the other end is the person who uses the crystal.
Right.
Because there's a crystal that you can allegedly use.
Yeah. Unless it's like, I just got out of the shower and I'm not going to move for 4 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My, one of my best friends, his mom growing up would always use the crystal. And she's like a little petite woman who never really moved around a lot. And she always stunk bad.
I have actually natural homemade deodorant upstairs from a friend of mine. Him and his wife made it. I'll have to reach out to them if you want
Ooh.
Some.
Well, I already nailed
Shamefully,
it.
I've never used it.
So wow, that's interesting.
I don't know why.
Is it an oil or is it like a bait, like a thick bait?
I haven't even opened the canister.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
let's
really?
Look at it later.
Yeah.
Well, so Renee talks about how you switched over. Mm-hmm. You stopped using the regular deodorant. And I've always noticed when I come off regular deodorant, I have a weird, funky smell, like toxins.
Because you purge.
Yeah. So I was already off my funky deodorant, or antiperspirant, but still struggling to find something good. And I seriously was putting this out into the universe where I was like, someone please tell me what works because I don't want to use, I can feel that it's bad. Like I know it's a bad thing to be putting on my body. And then I listened to, I think it's your Valentine's Day episode, and you were talking about essential oils to use. And I have this really potent lavender oil.
It smells so good on you.
Thanks. I love it. And I already had a spray that I put on it because I would spray my bedding at night.
Yeah.
And I just started spraying on my armpits. I cannot. And you guys, I mean, I get stinky. And this, I can sweat. And it's like, it's crazy how I do not stink.
Like, so this is better than even like, because I've been using for, I think, 2 years, like this, one of those aluminum-free natural deodorants you can buy, like in stick form. But you just have to reapply it more often than you would like one application lasts all day, blah, 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 which is just like sealing up, like you're putting water seal on your body,
Ooh,
which
gross,
is,
Well, you've got to you have to disinfect your armpits too. Mm-hmm. Like you've got to use witch hazel or apple cider vinegar on your armpits like once a week because it'll just keep that.
Yeah.
Area.
Yeah.
Get them pheromones out there.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though.
I love. Pheromones. Yeah. Well, and I think that because the lavender smells different after it mingles with my own natural stink.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pheromones are powerful.
They totally are.
Also, I got to get off the pill because do you guys know that the pill will change when we're not on the pill? We smell subconsciously. We smell the people who would have the best DNA to breed with our DNA. But when we're on the pill, it switches and we are attracted to the people with DNA that's like our own.
So is this like deep level physiological witchcraft that they're doing
also,
in the form of this pill?
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, it fucks up your sex drive too. Like,
I'm always... No, just kidding.
I know the difference between
hormonal
and non-hormonal.
I do too. When I go off, I like am rubbing... I was telling Ryan this story. I was rubbing my tits on my coworker last summer when I went off the pill. In my defense, he was a Gemini, okay? So...
how is that a defense?
We are not... By the way, we are not astrologically reaffirming unwanted sexual advances.
Don't assault your friends. Don't assault your coworkers.
But they were a Gemini.
He he loved it. I'm not even kidding.
I'm not going to act like he didn't, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
he loved
okay.
it.
But
but here's the other thing about the pill.
And also, women don't have a history of sexually assaulting men.
Thank you. Men are not afraid of us.
Yeah.
Well, they're afraid of us laughing at their dicks.
They're afraid of different ways.
Yeah, yeah. Which is cruel. Don't laugh at dicks, ladies. Or men. Don't laugh.
Unless that dick is like
anybody's naked
putting
body.
On a show.
No, if like it's a comedy like a puppet show with like a dick. That sounds
like puppetry of the penis.
That's a great idea.
Is that something you're working on?
No, but puppetry of the penis is pretty famous, right? Like we've all heard of that, right? Like they do Vegas shows and everything. It's like, I heard puppetry of the, there's a comedian, Julia Ladkowitz, who's from Canada. She's very funny. She opens for puppetry of the penis in Vegas.
Is this real?
Like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is where like,
well, I want us to go to Vegas together anyway. We were talking about a friend trip and maybe this is what we do.
I thought we were going to Joshua Tree.
Oh, that's right. We were going to do that. We were going to go see meteors and stuff.
That feels more your vibe.
Yeah, thanks.
Than like going to Vegas and seeing dicks turned into the Eiffel Tower.
I loved, Renee called New Orleans Vegas for witches. Yeah. You have, God, you have all the best things. You have all the best things. I really feel this way. Yeah, so the oil thing I loved. I feel like we touched on something else just a minute
ago. Well, I want to like break into this this node thing a little bit. Or you want to wrap up the
this
pill
thing?
This
is super important for women on the pill. So when you let a man come inside of your body absorbs the semen, and they have done tests. It makes you more attached to the man, like more mentally. And some women get a little bonkers. It like the way he smells drives you crazier and you get more possessive, which is super scary because I already have a lot of Scorpio, so I don't need that.
I want to get crack into this node thing a little deeper if we can.
Okay.
When it comes to someone understanding their nodes, can you give me or tell me or describe to me what it was like for you to come into this understanding of the nodes and what like the changes and like the clarity it brings to your life
in terms of my own?
Yeah. Cause I think when it comes to astrology and how deep it can go with like node, like, cause most people who are just casually into astrology have never heard of nodes is my guess. And so I think it can be a little daunting when people are overwhelmed with all these different like birth chart. What's your rising sign? What's your moon sign? What's your sun sign? So like people are like, how am I supposed to use any of this information to really apply to my life? Yeah. So when it comes to the nodes, like what kind of like practical way did you notice a change in any way or just to have a better understanding of who you were as a person?
I think it was more of a better understanding. You know, I've done a lot of work just for my personal soul evolution in the past like 2.5-3 years. So I don't feel like it changed things. I think it just made my past make more sense. But so my south node is in Libra and my north node is in Aries. So for me, it's kind of like historically speaking in past lives and stuff, and something that I've carried over into this life is that in relationships, I have a tendency to be so accommodating and so nurturing I can kind of lose myself like taking care of another person and making sure that that person is happy and that there's balance and, you know, things are just moving along smoothly, but it's at the expense of what I want and what I feel.
Yeah.
So with my north node in Aries, it's more about like, okay, you have to be a little bit selfish and you have to think about what it is that you want instead of how to make someone else happy.
Oh, that's really good.
I think we're in an interesting time in history too, when it comes to like the explosion of the awareness of self-care. And then with that also comes the taking advantage of that and using the term self-care as an excuse to do certain things. But then on the flip side of that is the being a nurturer, being a caregiver. Almost using that even without realizing it as an excuse to ignore really what you want because you feel selfish if at all you're taking care or thinking of yourself first. So that sounds like that's like a I think a difficult struggle that a lot of people probably deal with in their lives. And when it comes to like what's the line there between now I'm being selfish or no, now I'm actually making sure I'm taken care of here.
Yeah. Where does your Venus in?
Scorpio.
Me too. Oh my God, did we know that?
I think we did.
That's what it is, though. The Scorpio Venus is because it makes us like all consuming with the love stuff. And I mean, it's hard. The last guy I was with had his was in Pisces, which is a really good match, but he had like a great big block. But yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, I think, with the Scorpio, the Venus in Scorpio, to be selfish.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And I mean, well, my son is in Scorpio as well.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I look at my past relationships, you know, especially the longest one. I used to be married and I had no idea how much of my energy was going into taking care of this man.
Yeah.
Until I started my own life without him. And I was like, oh my God, you can do things.
Yeah. That was my,
you can do things.
Yeah. That was my last marriage, my second marriage. Yeah. The first one, he was double Libra. So he was pretty independent, but yeah, the last one, oh my God, he had all the same planets. So as me, he was Sag, Leo moon, Scorpio Venus, which was crazy intense for us to, we were like the same beast. Which was great for a minute and then not.
Do you think there's a correlation between awakening to a deeper understanding of your astrological charts and also the tapping into your inherent psychic abilities?
I think so, but I don't think it necessarily has to be astrology. I think as long as you're jogging your mind towards sort of the esoteric and the mystery schools, that you're going to create channels within your brain to be receptive to messages and things like that. Because, you know, my relationship with astrology, there are people who are very advanced and they, you know, can do horary readings where it's like you ask a question and they'll run a chart and they'll just bam, 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 pull out all these really crazy things. But for me, it's a little bit more broad. Like I mostly just pay attention to what the moon is doing or what certain planets are doing. But it's kind of like I can understand why the collective is acting the way that it is because of the planetary placements. And it makes me feel like I can be more aware of what's going to be happening in the outside world. So I can kind of maneuver in a way that makes me feel like I'm not taking crap from you know, whatever is going on with Mars and people getting agitated or whatever, because I can just like fly under the radar. Mm-hmm. And then when people are like happy and want to love each other and be friendly, that's when I'm like, hey, like, who wants to be social?
Yes. No, I try to pay attention. There's a really good podcast. Do you listen to Jessica Lombardo, Ghost of a Podcast?
No.
She's so good. And she's a Capricorn. She's just like this badass, the way like her self-love. She has some other things she does too. I think she's a YouTube show or something, but she tells you what to expect as a collective for the week coming up.
Anne Orowitz has a really good one. It's called The Weekly Weather. It's every Sunday and she gives the forecast.
Oh, nice. But I'll have to listen to that one too.
In terms of kind of like, I guess to apply more detail to what you had asked, I astral projected to each planet to...
We were talking about this. I'm scared to astral project to
space. this is interesting.
I know. And now this is just a tiny thing that I've learned from Renee. She said to me, if you really want to learn about astrology, astral project to the planets. And I said, I have a really hard time going to space. Like even Kat, my one psychic, was trying to pull me to space because she's like, it's so cool. Now that I know you can astral project, let's go. And I was like, because I just go to the ocean. Right. I go deep into the ocean a lot, which I'm also terrified of. But when you go into the ocean without a body, it's not as scary.
Right.
I don't know what it is about space. Maybe something bad happened there a while back. But when you said this, go to the planets if you want to learn about them, I really want to hear more about that. Like, what do you learn when you go to one of the planets?
I mostly just learn what the energy feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So for Pluto, which I love, that's kind of the planet of the underworld and secrets, and it's a power planet. So if you're doing a spell or something and there's a Plutonian aspect happening astrologically, that's like a time to call on your ancestors and it'll like...
Ooh.
Add something to your spell. But it's like dark psychic murky type of, you know, but it's like really powerful and really dense. But then if we go over to Mars, that's a really primal energy and it's sexual and it's kind of just like, you know, it can be aggressive. And so it's just kind of, you can attribute it to emotions that you experience yourself or from other people. It's not exactly the same as an emotion, but if you're looking at just kind of the concept of vibrational energy, I think it's an easy way to understand it. Venus is love and harmony and beauty. And that's my favorite place to go. I always have pink and green candles around my apartment because it's associated with like the heart chakra and being open to love and good things and appreciating beauty around you. So
I'm going to do it.
I want to know more about the actual process as well, as far as setting yourself up to do the astral projection to these planets. Can we talk about that?
When I'm doing astral projection work, I usually do it in the bathtub. And I will usually get some, like, I'll get super stoned because it just...
Do you get worried, though, about drowning in the bathtub?
No, God, I used
I'm so
nap.
Paranoid.
When I was a little girl, I would nap in the bathtub. And my family would be like,
guys, no. Why am I so scared of everything? I'm terrified of space,
like, hypothetical,
in the bathtub.
Let's lay this out. These steps here. You take a bath. Mm-hmm. The tub's filled, right, with water.
Right.
You fall asleep. Your first choke is going to wake you up.
That's
and all you have to do
yeah.
is just
yeah,
like lean your
so.
Head up and
yeah.
you're going to be fine. So like, unless like someone throws a toaster oven in there and electrocutes you or which,
well, my
who even uses those anymore?
My familiar right. perches on me when I astral project. And I could tell, you know, what's crazy too. I haven't astral projected in a while. And I think it's because I was communicating with somebody and we stopped for a bit. And now I think we're back in touch just recently. My mom sleeping next to me, I was like, fuck this. I astral projected, I think, every night she was here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Which is like, well, and I think that that's also like, because you're probably an empath, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an empath, like, it's hard because you, especially people you love, you suck up their energy even more. And she had a tough thing that she was talking about a lot, and that was hard, and she just like stayed kind of sad the whole time she was here, and
yeah.
it was a tough energy to sleep next to.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us. Okay, so you do
so you're in
the
bathtub.
Yeah, well, I mean the reason I'm into the bath
Angela and I are both like, so you're in the bathtub,
Renee.
I'm fine, I'm comfortable.
Menage a Renee.
The reason I like the bathtub is because, you know, you get super relaxed and it's kind of like that sensory deprivation thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you go lights out, candles.
Lights out, candles.
Super stoned.
Super stoned, because I believe that getting super stoned when you're going into a meditation helps open up channels.
No, that's a good idea. Well, it also shuts down a lot of the fear, unless you are a paranoid stoner, which I sometimes am.
But then I'll do crystals. Blue kyanite's my favorite for astral projection.
Ooh.
And baking soda and salt and stuff for protection. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I just go. I just relax. I release everything. And the weightlessness, I think, is helpful as well.
Do you ever see your body when you're out of it?
If I look for yeah. it, you know, if I make it a point to look at it.
Have you ever met up with other people astral projecting? Do you ever do this? These are my strongest memories of astral projection is...
Like, do you ever do a synchronated astral projection
yeah.
trip?
I've never tried that.
We should try it sometime. Okay. We should try to meet on a planet. Or so. I guess that's kind of a, like, not a great
we
meeting point.
We could do
point.
It in Joshua Tree.
Oh my God, we should totally do this. Somewhere. I'm so excited about this. Okay.
We have to figure out how and when, but
yeah.
let's do it.
Yeah, we'll figure out what Pluto's up to.
Well, it's my understanding that you definitely can... You can seek people out. And this is where it kind of melts into the dream world for me when it mm-hmm. comes to knowing
yeah.
certain people who have like the very lucid and, you know, vivid dreams. But you can find people, like there's certain people who they reach certain levels of this kind of thing where they can specifically go and find people to maybe have conversations with their, you know, that person's astral body self or their dream self. And the person doesn't even necessarily have to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And will have no memory of it maybe. Is there ever like, are there ever missions you give yourself specifically when you're astral projecting? Like, I need to go figure something out, or I need to go, you know, communicate with something or someone very specifically about something?
Well, when I'm astral projecting and going into it, I usually, you know, it's usually to gain some sort of knowledge or develop psychically or talk to my guides, whatever. I do set dream intentions. Like I intend to remember my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, I want to see a spirit guide. I want you to show yourself to me. I had a really crazy experience when I asked ETs to show themselves to me in a dream. I couldn't remember falling asleep, but I just like, I was a little bit restless, but I felt well rested when I woke up. But I know I fell asleep and I just had this dream that I was like in this beautiful blue sparkling light and it just went wah, wah, wah,
ooh.
Wah, like that was the sound. And I could feel that I was immersed in an energy and I was awake. I was lucid. And then I opened my eyes and I was like, okay, that was weird. And I fell back asleep immediately. And then it happened again, but it was like an ultraviolet purple.
Wow. Wow. And so much of this... Because even like when I closed my third eye for a while and I still had psychic abilities, but they weren't as strong as they've been lately. I feel like so many people can do this, and it really is just intention. Like, so many people, we're designed to be able to astral project. Like, this is just a body. We didn't come here for the body. Like, we're still these balls of light that can go everywhere.
Yeah. Well, another thing that's kind of interesting, since I started developing a relationship with ET maybe like a year and a half ago.
Wow.
But if I'm having trouble falling asleep, I'll ask them. Like, if I'm having mental chatter, I'll just be like, I need help falling asleep. And it's like something happens where my mind will just go blank all of a sudden. And I can't remember what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Even though I was like driving myself crazy. And I had to take like a power nap before I did a podcast interview. And I only had 15 minutes and I had insomnia the night before. So I was like, I need real rest.
Yeah.
And I lay down just like communicating that with them. And I just, all I remember was waking up, you know, 15, 20 minutes later. And I felt like my body was being gently laid back down into the bed by like a white ball of light.
Wow.
And I just kind of woke up and I was like.
Which is interesting because that's the opposite sensation that you hear a lot of people talk about when they've, you know, potentially been astral projecting or they're about to leave their body and then they jerk, you know, like they're falling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's a very, I have that still
it's
too.
It's a very harsh movement. Is very jolting.
I still jolt sometimes. My cat was on me and I did it the other day. And I was like, I just come back. And it was like, it scared me too. Like I hit, like it's like when you're landing in a plane and they don't put the, you know, I don't know how planes work, but when they don't land smoothly, it's like, it feels like that.
There was one thing, without getting too much into it, that I kind of always think about. And it was, there was one time when I was like talking to you about I was having a lot of dreams and I was like, yeah, I dreamt that I was watching you do this thing and you had done it that day, but you were having deja vu while you did it. So like I dreamt something that you did and you had deja vu as you were doing it.
Wow. Have
you ever thought about that?
That's like really wild. Like, I mean, you're having essentially, this is describing a third person deja vu.
Yeah, yeah.
Like deja vu on behalf of another person.
Has anybody cracked that code yet? Like, what the fuck is it? It feels so real. Whatever's happening feels so intense.
Well, there's lots of theories out there. Yeah. I'm not sure that the code definitely has not been cracked. Whether or not it's a, some people think it's like, you know, these are signposts, meaning that you're on the correct path.
Yeah.
Other people think that you've seen into the future. So it's like a glimpse into your precognition that you've had. Maybe it's another parallel universe.
It feels like a psychic sighting or something.
I definitely think it's psychically lit.
Yeah.
Do you remember that though?
Yeah. There's like, I'm trying to remember specifically exactly what the activity was.
You were laying out crystals after a show in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Whoa. And did you actually, do you remember this? Did you have deja vu in that moment?
Well, I mean, that's what I think was like what like sparked the whole conversation.
Yeah, because you told me you're having deja vu.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
and
so
then
crazy.
That led to, well, you're not going to believe that, you know?
Yeah.
right.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think that was the Pocket Full of Crystals. The Pocket Full of Crystals tour I was on.
I think so.
So I had a bunch of like raw, untumbled, I think it was rose quartz with me,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, that I would give out to anybody who bought a t-shirt or something.
I love rose quartz.
But I have to do better job of looking into ethically sourced crystals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Which is something that I'm, you know, been, you know, trying to pay attention to lately.
And now people are saying Palo Santo stuff is coming in and
we just have to make sure
ethical,
you get it from the right spot.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, how do I Google this? And I was finding stuff on Amazon where they're saying ethical and hopefully they're not lying. I really love burning that. I can't wait to cleanse when I get home.
I'm curious about understanding when, like, so let's say someone's listening and they're like really starting to tap into psychic abilities mm-hmm. that have been inside of them this whole time. And there has to be, I don't know, like when you're gently laid back into your body by a ball of white light.
Right.
Yeah.
That is preferable to being like thrust
body
slamming yourself back from the astral plane. So what are some good ideas to keep in mind when, so as one is not to be totally overwhelmed. I mean, cause you can feel crazy in all kinds of areas in life, especially in this world, right?
Yeah.
Where the rest of the world is trying to tell us constantly that this is all, you're a lunatic, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone is trying to gently lay themselves back into their body,
if
so to speak.
If someone's trying to have Renee's experience and not mine, what do they do?
I mean, I have done a lot to build up my psychic protection and mm-hmm. make sure that I have positive, you know, energetic beings around me. And I think in that it just, I just am protected. So yeah. I don't think I have negative experiences.
Listening to your podcast, I'm like, I listen to it and I'm just like, I'm a sloppy, sloppy witch. I'm just like slapping together my magic all the time. And you have your bedroom in lockdown, which I really mm-hmm. liked. Explain a little bit about that, how you keep a sacred space.
So I just, it's kind of when I'm going to sleep, I'll do maintenance on it, I guess, you know, every mm-hmm. once in a while, once a month or something like that. And I just kind of visualize like almost like an energetic grid lining all of my walls. And it's just kind of, you know, a barrier so yeah. that people, especially, you know, since I'm an empath, and I mean, yeah. I will pick up on energy from anywhere. If someone slams the door, the front door downstairs, I will feel the sound.
Yeah. 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 I'm the same way. Are you a super light sleeper?
No.
Oh, I
go out, I get down in the dream yeah. world. So I'm just,
she's not. Got an ET sleep mask and earplug.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, I'm trying to like build that relationship with them so that like they can show me what they're doing with me when I'm there, because I'm like, you guys are not telling me what's happening.
Wow.
So I want to know.
Yeah.
But, in terms of like my, you know, I basically just set up energy barriers, and then to seal off my door, I, you know, sprinkle salt or brick dust.
Yeah.
But I also have, I kind of created something in my hallway and in the common areas where it's like a cleansing energy shower when people walk through it, so that they don't like bring their crap upstairs.
Yeah. I love that.
Spiritual booby trap. They
yeah,
walk through.
Yeah.
It was fun. Renee and I went to, see Brandy Posey do it was a roast. Comedians were roasting Ted Bundy and the comedians were serial killers. Brandy did Eileen Wuornos and there was a Dahmer, of course. He was great. Who else was there? Charles Manson. They threw JonBenet in there, which actually worked. It was pretty funny. I mean, it was all not PC, but it was really fun. But we went to see Brandy and we were hanging out afterwards, I think in the bathroom, and you were like, oh, I got to go. I'm picking up so many channels. I was like, oh, shit. Like that is.
It can be hard for me to watch live shows.
Yeah.
Because I pick up too many channels.
Wow.
It can, like, sometimes I have a really hard time paying attention at UPARs because there's so much psychic energy going. And there's been this repetition of seeing like three little blue orbs. And I don't know if it's a ship or what, but I'll just see it like fuck around the room. And I'm like, I just want to hear this person talk.
Yeah. Yeah. It did feel weird in there. It felt really weird in there. But I also felt like there was a lot of, the woman we were seeing started to say, there's no race war. We're being told that there's a, and I was like, people got up and walked out. Yeah. And she's like, white guilt. We're told to feel that. And yeah. I was like, shut up.
I'm just so tired of that whole narrative.
Yeah.
The interesting thing too about this world is like, It's very similar to comedy in that way, as you know. Like I tell people, like, all the weirdos of the world filter into stand-up comedy. Mm. Like, when it comes to, like, if you don't belong, if you're, like, I mean, to be an artist and want to do entertainment, you yeah. almost feel like you don't belong in the world already. Mm. And yeah. so then, if you still don't feel like you belong in the world of entertainment, you filter into stand-up comedy. That's, aww. Like, where all the weirdos end up. And so, there's so much crazy energy there.
Yeah.
And then, but UPARs is the same way. If you find yourself a member of a UFO meetup group,
yeah,
you know, like there's a reason you're there,
yeah,
and not
yeah.
hanging out at yeah. Applebee's doing half price apps, doing
you,
trivia
back
night.
To Applebee's with you. Look at this is
Applebee's
Ryan,
is like my barometer for normal.
It always reminds me of after 9/11 I went home to home, that wasn't home, it was a home for a while, but I went back to Florida where my family was, and I just like started waiting tables and I was a mess and I got drunk all the time. And I remember a really talented friend of mine who went to Boston Conservatory for music, and she's amazing. And we'd be out and we'd be watching everybody get shit faced and like just jam. And she'd say to me, why can't this make us happy? Why can't we be content here? And I'm like, I don't know, but I want it so bad. That's you and Applebee's.
Yeah, like, that's
you
want to
be content at Applebee's.
I dream of the
hour.
Day where I can just be like, God, I can't wait to go to happy hour. Half price apps? Oh my God.
The sun is still up.
I live for half price potato skins, cheese sticks, chicken wings, poppers on a platter. I mean, I'm actually getting kind of excited about it.
I went to Happy Hour at Mohawk Bend last night, and I was just like,
which is a great vegan. They got a great vegan menu.
It's so good. It's so good. Mohawk Bend.
I don't know.
You should come over there. I'm living like a block away from it right now. But they have, and I usually do not like vegan pizza. I just don't eat it. It is the best vegan pizza I've ever had in my life. I would never eat a different pizza.
They also have, they make their own soda.
They make their own soda? I didn't know this. Nice.
They make their own soda and it's problematic. I mean, I'm off soda, so.
Yeah.
I'm off soda. I'm off ice cream right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm off candy.
Nice.
But anyway, let's get back to, I'm interested because like when it comes to seeing orbs floating around a room where a bunch of people who believe in UFOs go every month. I mean, there's definitely an energy being built
Renee,
there.
Renee, do you know the difference? Do you know what the colors mean with orbs?
That's like a good question.
A yellow, green, blue. What is the difference? Is it like aura colors?
Okay, so if I'm reading for someone and it's their spirit guides, I will usually use the chakra color code. And I'll be like, okay, well, this guide is here and it's helping you with your confidence. This guide is here and it wants you to speak your truth. But it's just situationally, it's different. And the way that the orbs appear is not always the same. So I just kind of try to telepathically tune in and I'll usually get just like a very quick message. But with like the UPARS thing, I haven't engaged it. I just see it because I'm like,
this isn't the time or place.
I don't need to become this unhinged, right?
Yeah, you got to protect yourself in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Saying a lot when you look around that room.
Yes. That last full moon. What was the last full moon? I know this will be played in the future. Do you guys remember what that moon was? We just had it was a crow moon, right? Was the last full moon?
I thought it was a worm moon.
It was also like Native American. Yes. I think it was that. I think it was that one. For starters, I masturbated 5 times in a row that night, which that never
for
happens.
Wait, I don't. That was crazy. I want to know where this ends. If this is for starters.
It was like I couldn't.
Where does this end?
I could not stop. Okay, but then, I should have probably ended on that because this is not as interesting. Then I take the recycling out post-masturbation.
Okay, yeah.
Barely able to stand at this point. Just kidding. I was not that rough on myself. But I get outside and I
You're
see
a gentle
the
lover
oh
to you.
Yeah, thank you. I actually was not. I was feeding. We've got these two black cats. Somebody was feeding them, and then she went away for a while. This little old woman, and then I started feeding them, and it's been great because the one lets me pet her now. But I was out there feeding them under this full moon, and I had my phone, and I started taking pictures of it because it was just so close to the earth. And in the photos, you see a blue orb, and I posted it to my Instagram, and my friend Nadia messaged me a photo of the moon she took that night that also had a blue orb in it.
Ooh.
Isn't that crazy?
I have a crazy orb photo.
Okay, that is crazier than masturbating 5 times.
Oh, good, good.
I did set it up. Your masturbation summoned the orb. Maybe your friend was masturbating too.
Yeah, they're masturbation orbs, and they're like, you've unlocked the maximum of what, I don't know how video games work.
No,
but
I can just see like a parent like hanging out in their living room, and they have like a teenage kid, and now there's an orb in their in the shower. And then like an orb starts flying around. They're like, Daniel. Like that's when you know.
God, I'm so glad I don't have any teenage boys in my house.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It's so gross.
Are you sure about that?
Right. Having one inside my body is enough.
Okay.
So well played, yes.
I want to know these colors because then on my magical land, there was like a chartreuse orb. And I don't know.
What's chartreuse?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like pink?
No, it was like a yellow green.
Oh.
It was really pretty.
Oh, okay. That's what chartreuse is because I think.
I learned
Was it
chartreuse.
You told me that like women see more colors than men?
Oh, no, but that makes sense.
We are better at most things, so.
So I believe that was a thing that I learned recently. It could be, you know, I mean, write in. Tell us that that's been debunked. But I believe I just learned that recently. So when it comes to like chartreuse and I can't even say it. And what is it? Fuchsia. And
fuchsia.
I'm just like, what are these colors? There's like, there's red and there's green and there's blue.
When I was little, I always imagined that I saw colors differently. And I don't know, but I would wonder like, does anybody else see the transition between these colors? And then who knows? Because the internet has made up a test for everything. Like, I don't know.
But I think that gold dress, blue dress was a perfect example of, people seeing different things.
That
and I'm still not
insane.
Convinced that wasn't like some kind of weird thing. Every time you load the page, maybe it's just different anyway. But
yeah.
I mean, we'll never know. Mm. But
we're being fucked with all the time. Yeah. I talk about something and then it appears in my ads. I'm not even Googling
it. Well, that's just your phone listening
to
you.
I'm not doing anything I'm not supposed to
do. Yeah, but that's happened
to
me when I've thought about something and that freaked me out.
That's where it gets interesting because my roommate had the same experience very recently where he was like, he told me that exact same thing. I was thinking about that's, now, like he was at a coffee shop on a computer thinking about something and then that ad popped up.
Here's where I am with it. Now, I don't do anything I'm not supposed to do. I don't look at any weird shit on the internet except maybe when I'm masturbating five times in a row, you tell me. No, don't tell me. You guys shouldn't know about that. But but it's more convenient if the government has tapped into my brain and now they're showing me ads for things I'm thinking about. My life will be more convenient. I'm also trying not to buy anything from Amazon anymore. I'm going to like the dog food store, the cat food store. I'm trying not to order as much stuff because I want to not be, I want to put that back in balance, not be part of the problem with the Amazon stuff.
All right.
But at the same time, I want to see ads for tours I should take when I'm in Venice next month. Like, yes, please, you know?
Yeah.
But
I understand, like, when it comes to the convenience of,
yeah,
I guess, commerce.
Though, like, when I was in the UK and they had cameras on every bus, they had cameras everywhere, and people were freaking out about that because they were going to start doing that in Baltimore. I was like, what are you doing that you don't want people to see? You know what I mean? Like, they found women who'd been abducted because they could pinpoint where they got off the bus from these cameras.
Right.
And well, it's one woman that I read this story about. And I'm down with that. Like, put cameras.
But fundamentally, being watched all the time is unsettling.
I guess. Yeah. You know what? I got a Leo moon.
Because
so
who
like
are
it.
These people okay. that
Don't
are that are watching,
anyone.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's up to the individual to decide if they're comfortable with it or not.
Yeah.
I know. Me personally, just because I've, you know, been into the conspiracy world years ago and, you know, still having part of that be a part of who I am, there is something about, like, I don't like when comedians are filming strangers out in public and posting it on their Instagram or whatever.
I hate that. I think we talked about this. I really think, because Sarah, our shaman, told us that one time, or maybe just me, I think it was when she was here hanging out, she said, most of the work she has to do to heal people is from other people, especially she said groups, like in an office setting, getting together and talking shit about the same person. You actually do harm to someone by doing that.
Oh, one of my roommates just had her boyfriend like move in recently. And it's like, I never had problems with her, but she's a person who likes anger, like it's high off anger.
Yep. Addict.
So he moved in and like he's, you know, I don't think this will ever get back to them. I really don't. So still, like, I feel kind of guilty, but he's like, I can just tell he's one of those people who has like a little bit of an issue with a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like he does very small things to like try and pick at me, but they're
fucking
like
misogyny.
Really small.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can feel him complaining to her about me, and because she's someone who gets so amped up on negativity, she'll like feed it back, and it's like a thing that they bond over is like hating other people. And it's not just me, like they enjoy projecting their anger. And
yeah,
you know,
I have two friends who I've kind of taken a real big step back from, and they're like super close with each other, but every time I would be with one and not the other, they'd shit talk the other one. And I know right now, because of the step back I took, they're shit talking me. And it is a close proximity, and sometimes I feel it and sometimes I don't, because they're not always there.
Well, the thing that drives me crazy about it too is like one of the things that I can hear them say is like, oh yeah, like she's really fucking psychic, like can't pick up on the fact that we're pissed at her. And it's just like, I don't want to be confrontational with you. Like I can tell that there's a problem. I don't want to address it. And I don't want to be like, if I came to you and if I said, hey, by the way, I had a feeling that you said this and this and this.
Oh my God. You don't even have to be a paid psychic to feel when somebody's mad at you.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that. Like that is shitty. I'm sorry you're dealing with that.
I mean, it's, you know, it's in flux. It's always in and out. Now things are fine, but it's just like every couple months, like there's just like this little anger hole. I think they're always in an anger hole, but sometimes it's like I get caught in it.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I'm so passive anyway. And I'm just like, do not confront people about anything ever. So I just like, okay, you guys want to go be angry, do your thing. But like,
oh, you're so good. I yelled at a child at Disneyland.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, but
you're done with all your karma here.
Yeah, I'm done with my karma. Exactly. I'm going to walk outside, yell at everybody. It's funny, when my mom was here, I was like, I don't get road rage, but I still like to yell at people. I really do. Like, well, okay. But not where they can hear me, where I'm just like, this is the thing I always hear myself yelling is,
so it's like more fun for you.
Yeah, it's more fun. I'm always yelling, we're part of a society. Like, you can't. I had a guy just today. I was taking her to the airport. We stopped at a diner on our way there, and I was backing into a parking space, and he had a black Lexus, and he tried to take it from me, and I laid on my horn, and you can't see who I am through that. The back is tinted, and I have a massive red truck, and he just hit his brakes, and he drove around, and I bet you anything, he thought I was like a big redneck man who was going to beat his ass, but it was great. It was great. But yeah, I was telling her, I don't really get road rage, but I still like to yell, you know. And oh my God, this was great too. I just want to remind people, especially empaths, I dropped her off. I love her with all my heart and soul and being, but I turned music up really loudly and I screamed so much, and then I felt amazing.
So here's the interesting thing, since we brought up empaths and we were talking about kind of my roommates and her boyfriend, I guess. I always say my roommate and her boyfriend, even though he lives with us.
Oh, but, bummer.
But it's just so I can tell that they're both empathic. But so one of the things, like, a lot of empaths have anger issues, but it's because it's like that, you know, that like anger being a drug. And so it's like they feed each other the anger and they feel it, and it makes them feel close to each other. And it's like this weird primal, like, I don't know.
I was that person for a long time. And I was raised with pain in my house, and I thought love had to come with pain. And it took me a long time to only enjoy the love part without the pain. And I used to make the pain, like in my relationships, I'd be like, we haven't hurt for a while, let me just stomp around and scream about something. Like,
I would attract it. And ooh, like, let's see if I can fix this.
Yep. Oh my God. This was my path. Well, Ryan came over one night for a paranormal investigation, and the biggest message I get constantly is about how I need to stop with that. Like, I need to stop giving everything to my partner and stop attracting the little broken birds, which I'm always going to attract them, but it's like, don't take any more of them on. And I keep getting that message over and over. That
I mean, you're constantly talking about, I'm going to foster kittens again.
Yes!
You've got six animals in your house already.
If I foster kittens, then I give it to them, and then I date a strong man. Like, I keep saying every day, I keep thanking my guides and the universe. I say, thank you for this strong and beautiful man. And he is as strong or stronger than I am, which I've never been with. And I think I've only touched on him like astral projecting wise. I don't know who he is quite yet. But the next guy I call in is going to be balls to the wall strong emotionally. I don't care if he can lift a car off me. I don't know why I would think about that. You know what? I do care.
You're
want him to lift the car off me too.
Could.
Yeah.
If you ever have a car on
That's
you.
That's true. That's so true. Now I'm picturing Eric from True Blood. I'm like, he could do it. Oh. Right?
Oh my God. One of the guys who lives here kind of looks like him.
What?
And I know he's single. Do you want to try and set it up?
Yes.
I will.
Oh my God.
I totally will. I think he wants a girl.
Oh my God.
I've been trying to figure out how to make something happen for him, and I think you're the answer.
This is perfect. Find out his planets, please.
He's a Capricorn.
Oh, that's okay.
I know that. But he's like a sweet baby. Like, I can feel his sweet baby nature.
But you know what? I keep attracting earth signs.
I don't know what's happened.
I dated a guy who looked like Eric.
The three boys that live under me.
Oh, okay. I don't know them, but yes, I know that there's.
But this is gonna be. Yeah.
I'm gonna set one of them.
I'm totally down with this.
So now you're gonna be. I mean, what's John Hamm gonna do when Eric from True Blood is in your life?
John Hamm is dragging his ass, and we'll see when he shows up.
Shame on you, John Hamm.
I also looked up. Okay, so this is interesting too. If anybody deals with that playing deck, the cards, do you ever do this? The Egyptian ancient cards. It's the actual playing deck. And we're all born with a card. Have you ever heard of this? I bought the books.
Is that the original? Is that the original deck of cards?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the.
And our friends, Lauren and Miranda, they have a podcast, Hard for Cards, where they talk about this.
Nice.
And yeah, it's they're funny. And it's I'm starting to not believe in it because I reviewed a lot of my relationships. Excuse me. And also one of them just had a relationship where the cards were all like, yes, this is the one, but not. And my last guy, like, we had all the cards and no. But I looked up John Hammond and it's like, we have a lot of good stuff, but we don't have the moon. And they say you can't have a partnership without a moon. And so now I automatically don't believe in the cards anymore because it has discounted my future relationship with John Hamm.
Well, I think it becomes interesting when you have to decide, are things singular?
Yeah.
And like, is this like a singular, or is the true reality that we're living in an ever-evolving, constantly changing realm where outcomes are constantly shifting, and which some people might think is a cop-out, but it might be on this current path you're on, this is what's could be your outcome.
Yes.
But then like a major decision changes things possibly, and now you've shifted into like a different reality of what your life is because of a decision you made.
Yeah. Oh my God. I've always had this weird feeling that I like my spirit kind of is just wandering through different versions of reality. Like I know I'm here and I know I'm present, but I have these like weird multiverse theories that the multiverse exists and that there are several versions of me who are psychic and intuned, and we can all kind of like tap into each other.
I fucking love that. When I was a child, I had something similar and I don't really acknowledge it anymore.
Is there a way to communicate with these other versions of yourself?
I mean, I've always had like weird things where I've sent myself messages, like past me messages, and like I'll do this weird thing while I'll be sitting in a room and I'll just like visualize myself in like how like a year or two like walking by, and then like I'll like look at me and like make sure that we look at each other.
Oh, I love that.
I kind of have been playing like time traveling games with myself since I was a teenager, and I still do that, and I'll meditate and I'll see myself standing in the corner of the room, and depending what I'm thinking about, like I've literally had this where I've been meditating about a situation and I have appeared in the corner and just been like, you have no idea.
Wow.
You're like talking shit to yourself.
I like it. Tough love. But then I'm all like, about it.
Well, no, then I feel like I got to that point and I was like, oh yeah, no, that's true. I did not. But now I get it.
I have a question. If your clone showed up, let's say you're in bed with like the person you like to be in bed with the most, naked times, not snuggling, not your mom. If your clone showed up, would you three-way with your clone and this person that you adore?
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. I was not expecting this.
Totally, yeah. Right? Me too.
Yeah, I would love to fuck myself.
Me too. Scorpio.
I don't know.
It won't be like a gay or bi thing. It's probably more like ego.
But you said that your partner would also be there.
Yeah.
So you could like really like
fuck your partner.
Yeah. Like
exactly.
Fuck his mind up.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. Like that's what I'm into.
Destroy
yeah. It's
him.
The person you most enjoy being yes. in bed with. It's like,
yeah.
But now it's, what do you do after that?
Oh, you make him feel like a king and then he worships you forever.
Yeah, forever.
No, I'm thinking like...
You murder the clone together.
See, this is,
I've thought this through.
Well, you murder the clone?
No, we take maybe. Turns taking care of biz.
Yeah, yeah.
We're more efficient.
No, what I'm saying is... what I'm saying is after you have this like incredible experience, now... single you is
no.
unable to ever match that double you
no,
experience for that
that's
person.
That's the thing. That's the thing. They always remember double you. So they're enamored forever with single you.
See, maybe this is like the inherent fear of not being enough for a woman that men have.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, once she has two of me, now one of me isn't going to be good enough.
Aww.
So now she's just going to go start dating some twins. Although twins aren't like into like... being naked with each other and having sex with the same person.
Some
as far
of them
as
are.
It's like from broken homes.
Yeah, the ones from broken homes for sure are. I know a couple. You guys, I have a twin story. Check this shit out. I was working a hedge fund.
But I feel bad for saying that. I just want to say I don't think that's...
They were not. They were,
yeah, yeah,
they were
yeah,
barely
yeah, like
successful.
Like that. Hashtag not all twins.
Hashtag twinning.
Well, we know what we mean. Yeah. But I was working in a hedge fund, and this was a long time ago, and it was like one of the top hedge funds in Manhattan. And I was the receptionist, and these two mega hot twins walk in, and they're very Aryan and they're very like buff and not quite my type. Like, I don't get me wrong, Eric from True Blood is like of another world, you know what I mean? But they walk in, they keep flirting with me, and there are other women up there working, they're flirting with me, they're throwing themselves at me. My coworker, the other receptionist, is getting pissed because they're flirting with me so hard. And I lived with my Gemini at the time, and I always regret not fucking at least one of those twins.
I wonder if that was like a weird game that they play, like which
they were seriously one-upping each other like crazy. It was really hot.
Oh, so this is a system that they've got in place
probably.
Since they were kids.
But I was weird. Happy to be the subject of the...
Yeah, that's fine.
Was
yeah.
this the Winklevoss twins?
They might have been. I don't know what they look like. No, I mean, I don't know. No, they seemed like very all-American, all shucksy.
Like the Winklevoss twins.
Are they? I don't really. I only saw the movie once.
They were on the crew team at like an Ivy League school.
These guys were definite
tall,
Ivy League
handsome,
twins. The tall, handsome to boot. Yeah. I would love
it. Maybe it was. Maybe it was the Winklevoss twins.
It might have been. I mean, this is exactly who they would be investing money with. This freaking crazy hedge fund I worked for. It was so fun. That whole thing was such a weird dream because I would just go in and write and do whatever I wanted and make a fortune. They wanted me to work there so badly. They said, set your own hours. And I said, how about 11 to 5? And I had full health benefits and I sat on my ass all day eating free food. It was amazing.
That does sound nice.
It was so great. New York was a really fun time. Now it's over. New York is dead.
Okay.
I still don't know the answer if clone me.
You really don't, Ryan?
I mean, because it's like, I don't know. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah, like, I don't really to one take woman.
Two, I don't want to take two.
No, I mean like when it comes to like,
but like I want two dudes to like rub my back and like
ooh,
pet
that
my hair.
Sounds really nice.
I'm like trying to envision like a scenario where I'm in bed with the person I want to be in bed with the most,
and the other you shows up,
and it doesn't just become this like. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't those moments.
Yeah,
but like, what does me or other me do? Because like, not to like speak out of. Be too personal, but it's not going to be a DP situation that this person is going to like really be into.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Like, but there's other things that can be done, I guess. Yeah. I just don't think.
Maybe
I don't
one
know.
Of you brushes her hair and the other gives her a foot massage.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
or
man,
you
that's,
just call
that's
yourself.
My DP.
Just get rid of the woman altogether.
But it is.
That's a great idea.
But it is egotistical, I guess, in vain. But like the thing that is appealing to me in this is like, oh, like what does this look like? When you're doing this,
oh yeah.
So like now you have a perspective of what you look like when you're having
but
sex,
you could also
and then
just
you can
film
like really like critique
sex.
Yourself and be like, oh, that like I thought I felt like that
you
looked better.
You gotta go deeper though, Ryan, because you could just film yourself and yeah. watch it.
Yeah, but you can't have the 3D experience yet.
True.
No 3D. Yeah.
True.
I mean, I'd probably do it.
You'd have to do it. When else would you ever get?
I mean,
because
when are you gonna have another opportunity to have something like this happen? Like. Mm-hmm. I probably agree to it just because it'd be so fucking wild.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Right.
Just have to get both of you drunk first.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea too.
Although like the older I get, the less I want to like drink and partake in like sexual activity because it's so numbing.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I like to drink a little bit and partake.
Yeah, I like to get loose.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the liquor.
I don't want
to. Honestly, full disclosure, no one listening asked to hear this. If I drink too much whiskey, I cannot.
Whiskey dick?
Like, well, it's not even whiskey dick. It's just like, there's just no sensation. Mm. Like,
wow.
You can't feel. It's
I've
like
heard
I'm grabbing.
So many men.
It's like
yeah,
I'm touching a dick that
common.
Does not belong to me.
Wow.
Yeah. I just can't feel it.
So there, you kind of have had sex with yourself in this way.
Yeah. So like, and I love to drink whiskey, but I mean, I actually don't drink very much anymore, but,
I drank a lot this weekend cause I had my mom in my bed. So,
well, let's put a bow on this like magical, the magical interview. Cause we're like almost at, you know, we're over or like 70 minutes. Not that there's a time limit on this, but. I mean,
apparently
I'm not gonna,
there is.
All of a sudden, I find myself talking about like
mind
I can't feel my dick when
there.
I drink. Like, what people are like, "What is happening?" We were talking about nodes. Now, singer's like,
vulnerable.
"I just can't feel. I'm grabbing my own dick, but can't feel it. But it doesn't feel good because it don't feel nothing. Now my dick's like me, dead inside." Like, that's a character. That's a character called me. No, I'm just kidding. So
a real Ryan here.
So what we have here is we have like what I like to think of as like a foundation for trying to understand magical and mystical living. And I think astrology charts are a good way to navigate certain areas of life. Mm-hmm. And there's, like you said, there's, depending on the mystery school you're interested in, is I think a good way to, you know, have like a framework of, you know, giving yourself some structure, I think is important. And, also understanding, like you alluded to earlier and didn't outright say, but I think it was clear to everybody that there's work involved here when it comes to like harnessing, tapping into, understanding and controlling these things. This isn't something you can just be like, put the intention into the world of like, I'm going to be psychic and know how to do everything. And then just okay, I'm going to take a nap and I'm going to wake up and be psychic and know how to do everything.
Yeah.
There's actually work that needs to be done
intention
when it comes to self-work
everything.
And the self, and especially the self-journey that goes into doing the work on yourself specifically that goes into leading up to all this.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's like a lot of people who seem a little like emotionally out of control or emotionally all over the place is usually a sign of being empathic. And so it's kind of like it teaches you how to separate yourself from other people, and you come out of it a much calmer, rational person.
Yeah.
And I think as like a reward for doing that work, you're able to identify like what's going on with other people, and you become understanding the difference between your emotion and someone else's is like the baseline work for understanding subtle energies. And then you can build upon it and kind of, you know, get to a point where you are having ET experiences that are so over the top.
Yes.
So over the top. And just the things that have happened.
Yeah. You inspire me to clean up my act and be a more in control witch. Cause I really am just like, can we see what happens tonight? Like I need to like lock my stuff down better.
I mean, it's, you know, it's good to have like those moments when you're, you know, you are really free and you are really all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I got divorced from my husband, I, you know, had a psychic awakening at the same time and was like, I'm like, hey, I've been doing comedy for 6 months. I'm gonna go on a fucking tour.
Yes.
That's what you should be doing. And like just hit the road for like 2 months. Just like couch surfing and being nuts.
That's an amazing way to heal and hit your reset button.
Well, that's what it was too. But it's like, you know, you have to know when it's okay to like be reckless and be messy and, you know, be free. It's kind of like letting go of you know, restraints and breaking shackles away. And then it's like, okay, well, you can't just live here forever. Mm-hmm. You've got to like,
it's true.
You have to take breaks from the crazy, and you have to take breaks from the safety and the security. Like you just have to find a balance between both.
Oh, totally. Yeah. This inspires me. I'm gonna clean up my act.
Clean up your act. And what if you don't have a bathtub, but you have a shower stall?
I am dying for a bathtub. It makes a huge difference. Well, do you want to answer this? Do you know the answer?
Well, what in terms of like astral projection?
Well, like if someone's like, oh, I really love that bathtub idea.
Bathtubs are huge for
magic.
I'd
love to try that, but I only have a shower stall. Do we seal the shower stall and fill it all the way up to where it's a standing tank? What's some other good spots? Maybe out in nature, in your bed, get comfortable with a reading pillow.
Yeah, and you know, I would still take a really nice, long, hot, steamy shower to kind of release tension in the muscles, and maybe throw some aromatherapy on the floor of your shower. Don't do that, and like do that after you get in the shower though, because it'll evaporate really quickly.
Yeah.
But you know, do things that'll make you relax. Mugwort is supposed to be really good for astral projection and dream work.
Really?
You can drink some mugwort tea or smoke a little and then go into it.
Smoke mugwort?
I've never done it, but I've heard that, you know.
Wow.
Especially before going to bed.
I can't wait for us to go to Joshua Tree and go to the planets that I've been afraid of.
I'll take you.
I'm so excited about this. Mm-hmm. I'm so fucking excited about this. I was going to tell you too, like as far as my astral projection that I've done when I get like, when I want a big serious astral projection, I will just lie with a blanket over my whole body, like a cocoon, mm-hmm. like a womb.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find, I mean, it's probably on YouTube, but they have little meditations that'll talk you through it.
Yeah, one thing that I do is I'll lay down and I'll imagine golden roots coming out of the bottom of my body and just going deeper and deeper into earth, pulling in earth energy. And then a trunk coming out from my top. And it's like more iridescent, and the leaves are me releasing things that I don't need. And then a little door will appear.
Ooh.
So it's like my gnome house. So that's
I've seen like a gnome house, and I go down the stairs.
Then I open it and I go wherever I want to go.
Wow, this is amazing. I haven't done it by the book. I just will like wake up and be like, whoa, it was so cool. I went away, you know, but
I don't do anything by the book. I've always just kind of figured out
what works for you.
Yeah. I've just always had it come to me.
That's amazing, Renee. You are such a good psychic.
Thank you.
Okay, so are we supposed to wrap up now?
Well, yeah, but we have to make sure we tell people where they can find Renee if they live in the city of Los Angeles.
That's what I was going to say, Ryan. Yeah. Renee, where can people find you?
On Instagram, Rainbow Glitter Star.
Mm-hmm.
For the Spellcast, which is what I call my podcast, it's Witch Doctorate. My main website, it will be changing soon, but for the next couple of months, it's ReneeWattEntertainment.com. For the Spellcast, WitchDoctorate.com. And then I have a show on the 10th at 8 o'clock at a place called Gaucho's in downtown Glendale.
Which 10th?
April 10th.
Oh shit! Yeah,
that's gonna be in
there.
The past.
That'll, in the past.
That's in the past.
Well,
now.
Then we won't talk about my life. We won't talk about.
They'll probably be.
It was a smashing success.
Oh yeah, yeah. They'll be hearing
really
this in May.
It was really good.
Yeah, your show was great. I loved being there.
And should we plug the shop or no?
Yeah, yeah. The Crooked Path is where I work out of in Burbank. But I also do a lot of phone sessions. One of my specialties is identifying what specifically will make a person psychic, how that affects their daily lives, and how to control and work with their psychic abilities. So that, because psychic ability, if you're not identifying and working with it, it can like really F up your life.
Yeah.
It can really F up your life. So I will channel your energy, assess what it is that's going on with you psychically, and then give you tips. And a lot of the exercises that I get, I will directly receive that advice from someone's spirit guides.
Wow. That's amazing. You're so good. You're so good.
Thank you.
So if you want to hone that skill, which I mean, I don't know who doesn't. I mean, I'm sure there's people who don't. Applebee's. I can't.
Applebee's.
I can't
Applebee's
figure out
right
what
now.
Area I'm
ordering
psychic in. I got trivia night. Hey, I won last week, so I got to get back to half-assed apps.
Ooh.
So maybe not everybody, I guess, is called to understand
it's
their psychic ability,
stuff.
And it can be scary stuff, and it's work. And it is
some
work
of
that,
us, especially people listening to this podcast, are brave and searching for answers.
Because I know this shit is real.
This shit is real.
It's real. It's real.
Well, Renee, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And you know, you can find Angela at the Crooked Path too.
Oh yeah,
you just took her on as a new reader.
Yes, I'm starting to read at the Crooked Path. So feel free to come in and creep on both of us.
Come see both of us.
Actually, don't do that, okay?
Well, you can, but buy a reading.
Yeah, but you gotta be putting some cash down for the creeping. All right,
cash money. Hey, cash talks. Cash talks and bullshit walks. Creeps walk. Okay, cool. Well, we did it.
Perfect.
This is wherethemagichappens.com. I'm Rai Singh on Twitter and Instagram. You're lovable.
Lovable on Instagram.
Lovable.
Angela Lovable on Twitter.
And what's the website?
This is where the... my website?
Yeah.
AngelaLovable.com. Very imaginative stuff here.
Well, no, that's the... I mean, I wish I had RyanSinger.com. I gave it away years ago to
you guys, there's a Canadian
Orange County
writer.
Architect.
She is dying for me to die. I get tagged. I just got tagged on Twitter as her, and I'm like, wrong, Angela Lovell. But yeah, she's a writer too, and she wants my... I can feel her creeping on that.
I did think of one thing.
What?
Midsummer Scream.
Oh, yes! Oh my God, yes. Thank you.
August 3rd and 4th. We don't have the exact date yet, but
Renee and I are doing a witches panel.
Yeah, a witches panel. I'm hosting and curating it, and then I will have a booth there doing readings and selling all my new products that have not been released to anyone yet.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, we're going to do a witches panel. I am the sex magic expert.
Mm-hmm.
What are you experting in?
I'm the host, so I'm going to be basically...
It's going to be great.
The corral and the whole thing together.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm super excited about that. I know what I'm going to wear already, too. You guys are
going
to
love it. Oh, and I'm going to plug something.
Oh, yes. Plug it.
Plug
May
it.
May 26th at the famously haunted Waffle House in Orange County. Well, that's what it's called. It's not an actual Waffle House.
Everything's happening in May when I'm gone.
Karen Rontowski and I are doing the very first of what we hope to be many of ghost investigations that we're leading. And so there will be tickets available. I think we're capping it at 30 people, and you'll get a swag bag. And we're going, if you've never done a paranormal investigation, or maybe you have and you want to meet some other people in the Southern California area who are into this kind of stuff, Karen and I will be leading investigation there. So you'll get 2 hours with Karen, you'll get 2 hours with me. And then, so yeah, it's going
to
be great. So information is going to be on my website, RyanSingerComedy.com. And you can buy tickets on there.
I'll just be in Italy then.
Oh,
fuck my life.
Okay, well, this has been great. Thanks again for listening. And remember to write a review. Are they still getting their name on the altar?
I am going to leave those names up forever, I think.
And we have to add more.
I have so many to add right now. Everybody who writes a five-star review, I can't see if you just give a five-star review. I can't see
you have to actually write the review.
You have to write it. Mm-hmm. But then I put them on the altar. And I mean, I feel more powerful having them. Because it's just like a nice little exchange, a cycle of love.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been sending all my stuff their way too. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers.
Okay, we did it.